destiny is at your doorstep. The wave of the future originated in the ancient past. From Atlantis to Egypt and beyond, this sacred knowledge was passed in secret, not to be revealed until the world was ready. That time is now. Now is the time for you to know your destiny.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, and you are listening to the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. Welcome to the show. This show is for you. I'm here every week. I give a little talk about different subjects, mostly spiritual subjects, you might have noticed if you're a regular listener. And then around 7:30, after our first break, we open up the phone lines and we take your questions. I take your questions. You have questions, I have answers. I'll be using the Book of Destiny system to, plus a lot of the experience that I've had over the years in doing readings, to give you the best information possible so that you can make better choices in your life. And that's really what the system is about. It's not about telling us what to do. It's about empowering us with information that helps us to make a better decision about things in our life. So hopefully I'll be able to do that with you tonight when you call in after our break. Today is October 27th. We are in Scorpio territory now. Happy birthday, all you Scorpios. Hope you're going to have a great year. People born today is a super duper. Today's a super duper Scorpio birthday, basically. Because it's an eight. It's an eight of hearts. And eight is the number of Scorpio. Scorpio it governs the eighth house in astrology. So they're very intimately connected, the sign of Scorpio and the number eight. Anybody who's a number eight, regardless of their sun sign, will have some significant Scorpio energy in their chart. They'll either have planets in Scorpio, or they'll have the ruler of Scorpio, which is Pluto, making aspect to important planets in their chart. You can count on it. This is one thing that's so cool about the card system, because once you know the cards a little bit, you can sort of predict what you'll find in people's charts. Just by knowing their birthday and looking up their card, you can say, I bet you have some major Pluto or Scorpio aspects in your chart, and you can say that with assurance. So people born today, the reason I say it's a super Scorpio birthday is because it's eight of hearts, it's also a queen of hearts birthday, and the ace of clubs. Now, ace of clubs happens to be a unique card in the deck because it has only one karma card, really, and it's a heart. It's the two of hearts. So what you have here with this birthday is you have a lot of heart energy, and you have a lot of power, because both the queen of hearts and the eight of hearts are very powerful. So this kind of power can go either way in a person's chart. It can be used or it can be abused. I mean, most of the celebrities that I have in my list have used this power for good in their lives, but there are some examples of those who didn't. So we have people like Theodore Roosevelt was born today. He was known to be very, very, very powerful. We have musician Scott Weiland from Stone Temple Pilots. We have writer Dylan Thomas, actress Carrie Snodgrass. We have Ozzy Osbourne's daughter. She must be a handful. We have Donald Trump's ex, Marla Maples. We have Simon Le Bon. We also have John Gotti of Mafia fame, who was born today. So you can see that an actor, John Cleese, one of my favorite actors, you can see that this energy, so even though a person born this birthday may not abuse this energy, you know they're going to be very powerful and a force to be reckoned with in their life. They're going to be very sexy or very sexual in their life, because this is a very just got a lot of heart energy, sexual and relationship oriented. Most people don't realize that hearts are really the sex suit as much as they are the relationship suit. Now, any heart person will know, and they'll tell you if you ask them, get to know them. So when you have a Scorpio and a heart, you're talking about a lot of sexual energy in that birthday. So happy birthday, all of you who are born today. Hope you have a great year. Announcements. Our class is going to be this Saturday, and we actually have 15 people now, so we're going to not take any more registrations. If anybody really, really wanted to come, you could call me, and perhaps it might be negotiable, but we have a nice group coming, and it's going to be a fantastic class. We're going to be exploring and learning a lot about ourselves and people that we know in this workshop in my house here this Saturday. LoveCardsDating.com, the only website in the world where you can go and find a match based on your cards. And I guarantee you, it'll be more accurate than eHarmony or any other system out there. I've actually used eHarmony, and, you know, it was okay, but it wasn't that great. It wasn't, I'm not sure if it works as much as they profess. But they have great advertising, and they're making a lot of money. So Love Cards Dating and the workshop this weekend. Now, to talk tonight, I want to talk a little bit about safety. Now, I use that word maybe because I'm a Cancer, and people who are born under the sign of Cancer, we're all about security and safety. So we might look at things. I might look at things that way. What's safe? What's not safe? And where am I safest? Well, first of all, let's talk about problems that come up in life. And this is kind of a theme. It's been a theme in my recent talks. When there's a problem in your life, where is that problem? Where does it exist? Where does it live? And when we're feeling like we're underneath some problem, what's really going on? Well, generally speaking, when we're feeling like we have a big problem, if we're thinking this, we are in our head. We're in our mind, and we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure out. We're trying to, or we may not even be trying to get out of it. We might just be going around and running circles about it in our head about it, like reliving possible problem. Usually, a problem of this nature is about something in the future. It's not something that's happening right now. It's always something that's going to happen in the future. Very interesting. Even though you might be sitting here in a house and, you know, like I am, well-furnished house, nice and warm, comfortable, plenty of food to eat, you got, you know, your rent's paid. For now, maybe it's not paid for 2 weeks from now, but now it is. But what if your rent's not paid for 2 weeks from now, and you're wondering, how am I going to get the money for the rent? I'm just saying, using this as an example, because it's a financial one, and a lot of us have financial stuff that goes on. So what if your rent is due in 2 weeks, and you don't have the money, and you're not sure how you're going to get it? You can't think of any way to get it. So you have a problem that exists 2 weeks from now, and right now it doesn't exist, but it exists in your mind right now because you're worrying about it. You're thinking about it. Now, you could be very, very unhappy and miserable right now because you're trying to figure out a solution to something that is not happening now. It's happening in the future. So because it's happening in the future, we really can't do anything about it right now. You can make, let's say you can go out and look for a job or, you know, ask for some money. You can do things like this. But the mind would like us to believe that if we sit there and think about it, somehow it will get better. And this is the illusion that most of us are under when we have a problem that we're facing, that we have an unknown future about it. So we're stuck thinking about this thing. Now, Eckhart Tolle says that all problems exist in only one place, and that is in our thoughts. They don't really exist here and now. It's impossible, he says, to have a problem right now. Like he'll say, you have a situation right now that you might be able to have to deal with. I mean, even if 2 weeks came around and you did not have the money, let's just imagine, let's fast forward, and 2 weeks go by and you don't have the money. And then, well, what happens? Maybe you get a call from your landlord or whatever, your mortgage company. So at that time, you can do something. Something will happen and you can do something. You had this ability then. But all that time that you spent worrying about it, 2 weeks before that, what were you doing? You know, so what happens is, like, opportunities could be right in front of us, but we wouldn't even see them. Because our mind, and we all do this. We're always chewing over stuff. And if you notice, anytime you're feeling bad, like just feeling bad or concerned about something, it's always in the head. Always in the head. And usually nothing is happening here and now. There's usually not a darn thing happening right now. It's just something that might happen. Or it's something that has happened in the past that you didn't like and you're mulling over it. So you're reliving an unhappy past or making up an unhappy future. Either one of those two is going to have you unhappy because you're not being in the present moment. You're not being now. You're not being here. Now, you know, life is always happening here. It's real interesting. You know, it's like, and I've said this before, like I walk in the woods here by my house frequently, and I have a very active mind. If you know about anything about astrology, I have the planet Jupiter in the sign of Gemini. And when you have Jupiter in Virgo or Jupiter in Gemini, either one of those two, it's hard to stop thinking. You've got a lot of thoughts going on. One Indian astrologer once told me I had three minds, not one, three. So my mind is going a lot. And of course the mind, if it's going, it's always about the past or the future. So I'm out here walking in the woods, and I catch myself and I go, isn't walking right now here on this trail in the woods, isn't this enough? I mean, why do I have to go somewhere else? Why do I have to start fantasizing about something in the future or relive something, you know, that I enjoyed in the past or start worrying about the future or start reliving a negative situation? Why do I have to leave right here? Why isn't just being here, walking up this trail and hearing the birds and smelling the smells of all the brush and the plants? There's a lot of really wonderful plants like sagebrush and different varieties, chaparral. They have this amazing aroma, and there's all kinds of interesting animals and birds there. Why isn't that enough? Why do I have to leave that as if it wasn't enough? You know, and the mind will say, this isn't enough, it's boring. This is boring. Whatever's happening right now, so if you just stop for a moment, those of you who are listening tonight, just stop around, take a look. Where are you sitting? Where are you at right now? Are you standing? Are you doing something? Are you sitting? And ask yourself, is this enough, what you have, or are you waiting for something to happen in the future? Are you, you know, like Eckhart says, are you going to make it someday in the future? Or the opposite of that, of course, is that in the future you're going to get really messed up because you can't make the rent or whatever else. Somebody's going to leave you, you're going to get fired, they're having changes. In the world is an uncertain place. There can be, you know, 1,000 reasons, 1,000,000 reasons why you could be unhappy about the future too, as much as you are about right now. And yet, if you notice, I think that what Eckhart is saying is really true. No problem can exist right now. Now, this could be an amazing discovery. This could be an amazing breakthrough if you were to take this to heart. Because what I'm discovering is that my only refuge, my only, not escape, really. I guess you could call it escape, but Eckhart calls it an exit from, you know, problems. And I don't care what the problem is, because problems are interchangeable. It could be any problem. Your problem, the one you have today, will be what your friend had last week or what you read about in the newspaper that's happened to somebody else. Problems are interchangeable. None of them are more significant than others, even though we think they are. We think, oh, this one's a really big problem. But really, they're all just problems. And I'm finding that the only relief and the only escape from or exit from that is to come into the present moment. Come back to now. Because all that problem making is in my head. It's not really happening. It's just in my head. All that judgment, all that fear, all that assessment, all that anticipation, evaluation, all of this is just mental generated noise, stories about my life or about your life, stories that we make up, that we run and run tapes, you know. And it's interesting because Eckhart talks about, you know, how he, for a year or so, well, he had his epiphany around age 29. He had his breakthrough. But he said just before that, he was just obsessively thinking. And it was all about him and how unhappy he was. It was all of his thinking. So you'll notice that when you have problems, all your attention is drawn onto yourself. It's all drawn onto me. It's all about the me. And who is this me? This me is a me that has problems. This is a me that has a story, has a past, and has problems. You'll notice this is true. And this is where most of us live 95 or more percent of our life. You may say, oh, I have a good life. I'm really going places. I'm making progress. I'm working hard. Yeah, you still are all tied up in an identity that's constantly under threat from external situations. You may have to fight. You may be a better fighter. You may win more of your battles, and therefore you might feel that you are better and that you're doing good, and yet you're still having to fight. The only escape from all of this, this whole merry-go-round of insanity that we live in, is to come into the now. You know, I'm noticing, I don't know if you've noticed, I don't know if everybody's seen it this way, but I don't recall a presidential election in the past that has brought up so many strong feelings in people. I'm especially seeing that the people that are against Obama are almost in a panic. This is what I'm noticing, and I'm not taking sides here. I've said whatever I had to say about this in previous shows and on my website. But I'm noticing that people are really getting worked up. And I'm watching them go a little crazy. Like, they find things on the Internet that supports what they believe. But they don't even take the time to check the facts out. And they distribute a lot of stuff that's not true. And they misinterpret. You know, they fall victim to all things. Everybody's looking for prove to support their point of view, but they're all really, I find that people are really upset. They're making it so important, more than I've ever noticed before. I mean, I think it's always been important to have a good leader in our country, but I just noticed that people are going a little out of their way this year and being a little crazy. Just today in the news, they arrested some skinheads, some white supremacists who were plotting to kill Obama. Well, that doesn't surprise me, because I'm seeing smaller versions of this in people that I know, people in my family, cousins and brothers and mother-in-laws and father-in-laws. I'm seeing a lot of really intense stuff come up. And I'm just really kind of amazed in a way. But then I just sit and look and go, wow, that's how our mind works. This is what we do. When we get on a tear and when we get feel right about something, we just find anything. We just throw stuff in there. If it fits, if it wears, if it makes us feel good and it seems to support our point of view, we shut our doors down and we don't even see the fallacy in our ways. It's very difficult. And just recently I've been really listening to Eckhart Tolle, and he's saying that, you know, every point of view you might have, any point of view you may have, is just one of many points of view about something. And there are other points of view that are just as true as yours. And I think about astrology because, you know, I've talked about this before. There's 12 signs in the zodiac. There's 12 signs, and you have planets in certain signs. And some of these signs get along famously, and other ones will never get along because their points of view are not harmonious. But it doesn't mean, this is the real thing, it doesn't mean any sign is wrong. So it's interesting, you know. There are three signs that are, like you take your sun sign, there are three signs that do not get along with your sign. And there are four others that do get along with your sign really well. Maybe even five, because you can include your own birth sign in that list. So there's more that get along with you, but there are three that are different. So different that you could not see things the same way. Your points of view do not match. But it does not make them wrong, and it does not make you wrong. And most of us who have squares and oppositions in our natal chart, we have these conflicts already within us. We have these conflicts of points of view already embedded in ourself. So we keep attracting them out from in situations outside of ourself. We, you know, keep attracting relationships that mirror that so that we can see it, that finally, oh, look, I'm already in conflict about this. It's not that person that's making me get all upset. I was already upset about this. I was born with this upsetness about this and that. So these are all points of view, again, and it's all mind stuff. So if I'm getting really upset about something, if I'm afraid or if I'm just upset, and if I'm really feeling righteous, oh, this is really scary. When we're feeling righteous is when we really should, somebody should just put brakes on our head. Stop the action right now. Because if I'm feeling right, that means that I am making other people wrong. It means I need to make them wrong in order to feel better about myself. It means there's something lacking inside of me. If I have to have a point of view be my way, I'm ignoring the other signs in the zodiac. I'm taking it all from one point of view. You may be voting for Barack Obama, and you may be voting for John McCain, and you may have points of view about all different aspects, and you may be really smart, and you maybe have done well in school and always were really, really intelligent and got a lot of pats on the back, and yet, even though you're so smart, you're not necessarily right. And it's being right about who should be president or anything else, to the extent that you get upset about it, you've got the problem. It's you that has the problem. And the solution is always the place to always come back to if you want to escape from that, if you want to just step out of it. I don't mean escape in the way that, like, doing drugs, because you can always do drugs or get drunk and escape from everything. I'm talking about a way to step out of that vicious cycle. And you can come into a place where everything is really wonderful. It always is wonderful. We just don't allow ourselves to spend a lot of time in right now. Just feeling your body, being appreciative of what you have, looking around, taking a breath, checking in on how you're feeling, looking at how rich, looking at around you and looking at how much you have. You know, just being aware. I'm a diamond, so I always kind of go back to, looking at the value of what we have in our life. I can't help that, being a double diamond. You know, for me, being in the now is often just giving thanks. You know, I teach in my Big Money book to a daily routine where you say an affirmation as you put money into a bank. And I still do that to this day. I have a bank of money that I will never spend. And it grows. And every time I put money in there, I just think about, I just give a thought to how much I have. I am wealthy beyond belief. You know, there really is no, I'm going to make it someday. It's already happened. And if we haven't made it yet, if you don't think that you've made it yet, then you're waiting. And that means that you are postponing any kind of happiness that you might be having right now and placing it into some conceptual notion of a future. And you will be unhappy because you cannot live. Nobody can live in the future. It's impossible. All you can do is be stuck in your mind right now about something, concept called the future. What will happen? That's all you can do. You can't actually be in the future. And that trying to be in the future, it creates a stress because you cannot be there. That's the definition of stress. This is why people look old, way before their time. They look tired. They look worn out. You know, you look at Eckhart Tolle, 60 some years old. He looks like about 30. You know, I'm not saying he's the absolute role model, but you know that since the last 30 years, he hasn't really been stuck in the future or past. And you can see what kind of an effect that has on a person. You want to be beautiful? You want to be younger? Start being in the present. It's all right here. So coming into the now, this is the place of safety that we all have. This is where I go now. When I start to get like I lose consciousness and start to become either worried about the future or mulling over a past situation that I didn't like, I just my awareness comes in and I go, oh yeah, but everything is really great right now. Everything is awesome, and I can do anything from this point forward. My life is now. And look at all the good things I have. Look at the things I have to be grateful for right now. Okay, that ends our discussion this evening. We're going to take a short break. We are going to play some music. And I've been playing songs from my CD, Bhakti Rock, which are spiritual songs. They're ancient mantras from ancient India, for the most part, put to modern music. So we're going to listen to a song from the CD. We're going to listen to Rama Rama. It's called Rama Rama. Rama was an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, the one before Krishna. Krishna was the most recent one. And before him was Rama. They are both incarnations of the same essential energy. And Rama is the sound of the heart chakra. So Rama is meant to open the heart. So if you listen to this song, don't be surprised if your heart opens up a little bit. The lines are open. When we come back from this break, I'll be taking your call. So have your questions, have your birthday, give your information to Seth when he answers the phone, and I'll be right back after Rama Rama. Welcome back, everybody. That was Rama Rama from my CD, Bhakti Rock. Hope you enjoyed it. It's available on my website, seventhunders.com, if you want to check it out. We have now on line two, Natasha from Portland, Oregon, whose birthday is November 7th, 1959. Are you there, Natasha?
I'm here, yes.
We've spoken before?
We have, yes. Several months ago.
Okay, so how are things going?
Good and bad. I have some issues with my son, who's almost 14, and he might get expelled from school.
That's hard.
Yeah, it is. But the main reason I called tonight is because my birthday's coming up, and I noticed for this year there's going to be like four different times when the 9 card is going to be affecting me.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So just kind
you
of for a general checkup.
Too. You had some 9
Pardon?
This year as well. You had some 9
yeah.
this year as well.
Yeah.
Like you displaced the 9 of spades, so, you know, it's these cards indicate that it's important for you to be willing to let go of some things. Like, for example, perhaps your son, you know, that might be something that you need to lighten up about or let go of to some
uh-huh.
extent. You know, King of Clubs are great mothers, and they really stress education for their children.
Right, yeah.
Which is a really good thing, right? I mean, it's a good thing. But even so, sometimes you might need to let go too, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's possible. So next year you have some more 9s coming in this situation.
Yeah.
And the big one is the 9 of Hearts long range.
Right, that one, yeah.
In your birth card. Now, are you single, married? What's your situation?
I'm single, but not really looking right now.
That's fine. I'm just curious. You know,
yeah.
The meaning of these cards has a lot to do with your personal situation.
Uh-huh.
It's good to know what that is when I look. So, you know, 9 of Hearts. What is your son's card, by the way?
Oh, he's a Jack.
What's his birthday?
February 1st.
Let's see. He's a Jack of Spades.
Okay.
And he's also an 8 of Spades. Those are your son's 2 cards.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you have a lot of connections with him because you have a 8 of Spades as a karma card. And the 8 of Spades owes you. In a sense, that's a good thing. You know, but you're also, so with Jack, there's a little bit of a Mars connection there. So, you know, he's going to make you angry sometimes.
Yeah. Like today. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the thing about the Jack is, you know, they have really strong freedom things to work out in this lifetime.
Uh-huh.
You know, they don't really want anybody telling them what to do.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like him.
You know,
once
he starts to develop, you know, his sense of himself, which he is, I'm sure, by now,
mm-hmm.
And he's at that age now where all the kids rebel, right?
Right. Yeah.
They rebel, and you got to understand that the Jack of Spades is really strong. That's a very strong card. He's not going to be controlled, you know. Now you're a Scorpio, okay?
Right. Yeah.
So your tendency is to want to control.
Being a parent.
Yeah, and being a parent, like you feel like that makes you feel like it's okay to control because you've got a good reason.
Exactly. Yeah, you want them to make good choices. So
you want them to have a good life or whatever. You want good things for them.
Right.
But your way of going about it will be tend to be on the control side, and he's not going to like to be controlled.
Yeah.
Because that's one of his issues. That hits one of his hot buttons, you see.
Yes. Yeah.
So sometimes it's a good thought to sort of think of your child as being capable of doing really well on his own.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, kind of picture him that way.
Okay.
And then let him be responsible for the choices that got him into the frying pan that he's in right now.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, so you got nine of hearts, that means you got to let go.
Yeah. Okay.
Now that may be what it is. I mean, I don't know the extent of it. You have a nine in Mercury, you have a nine in Mars, you have a nine Pluto. So if I had all these nines, I'd be saying, God, okay, go, just tell me what I need to let go of.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I would be doing.
And what is the positive of this year coming up? What period do you think looks good?
Well, see, you have a lot of good cards this year.
Okay.
And a nine of hearts could actually have you find somebody. Somebody could come into your life that you've been waiting for a long time.
Okay.
Because that card can represent fulfillment in relationships.
Okay,
see,
the nine
is not always bad news.
Right.
Sometimes it means the end of seeking something that we sought for a long time.
Okay, I'll consider it that way. And I work with preschool age kids with autism, so I've read that, you know, that's a nine can be a really positive thing in that way, as far as giving or.
Well, yeah,
kind of
you're
thing.
A giver. You're obviously a giver, and you know the King of Clubs always has the challenges around the mother. Female King of Clubs have some major challenges around being a mother or being feminine. Usually being a mother, but not always. You know, but most of them it's around the motherhood thing because the Queen of Hearts is the Pluto card for life.
Uh huh. Okay.
And that Queen of Hearts is definitely coming into play in your life. That's what's being played out.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else that I need to know?
Well, you know, I think you're going to have actually, the year is going to be a little bit challenging for the first three periods.
Uh-huh.
There's some changes that need to happen, and you're not that change. You don't like to change all that much. You know, you'll resist a little bit. But after that, the year is just going to fly by. It's going to be great.
Smooth sailing ahead. Okay.
That's right.
Well, that's good to hear. Okay. Well, thank you, Robert.
You're welcome, Natasha. Thanks for calling tonight and being my guest.
Mm-hmm. And tell your sister happy birthday also.
Oh, you mean my ex-wife?
Oh, I thought you had a sister that had the same birthday.
It's actually an ex-wife.
Oh, okay. Well,
exactly,
tell your ex-wife if you speak to her happy birthday.
She's even born the same year as you.
Oh my goodness.
So I know your chart like the back of my hand.
I'm sure you do. Yeah. All righty. Well, I appreciate everything you do and. It was great talking to you.
I appreciate
Thanks.
You.
Good
night. Bye-bye. Our next caller is from Los Angeles. His name is Ken. His birthday is September 21st, 1972. Are you there, Ken?
Hey, Robert. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, thanks for bringing the system mainstream for everybody. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And I have a question about relationships. And in this case, my birthday, 9/21/1972, I would be on my 36th plate. And I am interested in the relationship with someone who was born 3/22/1990, who happens to be an Ace of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
And the question involves that my Venus card this year is the Ace of Diamonds. And if I go into the plate of 18, which would be the year of his birthday, or his year this year, he has the Ace of Diamonds in the Queen of Diamonds position, which would make his Venus card the Queen of Clubs in my Three of Clubs position. I'm wondering what you can
correct.
Tell me about this, if it has any effect or any meaning.
Well, normally it would have some meaning, but this is in his past. That Venus and Mars period are, you know, like 4 or 5 months previous to now. So
okay.
I don't think they'll have an effect at this point in the year. What I would look in his future. Now, he's in Saturn right now.
Okay.
And so he's got some very difficult cards with relationships right now. So,
all
you
right.
know, the thing about when we are attracted to somebody is it's really hard to be objective, you know, looking at their stuff, their cards and stuff, because we can't help but want it to be a certain way. You know what I mean? But
right.
the more that you could actually, you know, get a sense for what's going on in his life, like what he's going through, the easier it'll be for you to kind of, you know, be okay with whatever happens. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, like, I mean, there's obviously some major stuff going on if he's got a Six of Hearts and Five of Diamonds in Saturn and a Seven of Diamonds and Five of Hearts in Saturn. There's got to be some major stuff going on. It may not even be about you because your cards aren't even in there anywhere.
Right.
You know. And then,
well, you
I mean,
know,
looking at his cards, for example, I see he's looking, he's kind of searching for what makes him happy. But he's really young, though.
Right.
He's only 18. You're twice his age.
Correct. Well, it's not a relationship like that. It would be a mentoring relationship.
I see.
I'm wondering
okay.
if the Venus has anything to do with that as well.
Well, you know, he's a Three of Clubs ruler like you. So you could be a very good mentor for him, absolutely.
Okay.
Because, see, the Three of Spades is your second card, and it's right in front of the Three of Clubs, right? So you
right.
can lead the Three of Clubs. And you know the Three of Clubs inside and out because that's who you are.
Right.
And that's who he thinks he is. He thinks he is the Three of Clubs.
Yeah.
Believe me, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. Yeah. Because that's how the ruling card operates. It operates like an identity. Like we think we are that card. Even though we may not be that card at all, we keep thinking we are. That's how it works. Okay. So if
okay.
you have something good to share with him, I think you'd be the perfect mentor for him.
Great. Now, do you think yeah. that it's possible that Queen of Clubs in the Three of Clubs position this year for him could be anything to do with, you know, spiritual knowledge or anything like that to teach him?
Well, remember, Venus period was 4 or 5 months ago.
Okay, so it doesn't last all year. It's definitely during the period.
No, there's an influence there that lasts all year. And we might say in a general way that you're Venus to him this year, but you would also be Mars to him, too. And there's a Seven of Hearts in his Mars period. So there's some challenges there, see? So it's more than it's more than just that one card. There's more things to look at and consider. But, I mean, how's it going? Is it going okay? Are you his mentor, or are you just thinking of being his mentor?
Just thinking about it right now.
Oh, well,
I
can tell you right now that it would be a good thing for him.
Okay.
Because you can, and he'll probably like you, too. He'll probably really like you and look up to you because he's moon to you. He's behind you, the card behind you.
Right.
So, and that's a perfect, I think, like in our Magi Fellowship, our group that we have that, you know, does card work, when we pick a mentor
uh-huh.
for somebody, we always try to find somebody who's moon to. You know, we try to pick somebody that the person that we're finding a mentor for, they're moon to that person. Because we know that they'll listen and they'll benefit from that relationship.
Okay. That makes total sense. I thank you very much, Robert.
Okay, you're welcome, Ken. Thanks for being my guest tonight.
No problem. Take care.
All right. All right. Bye-bye. Okay, we have another caller, and we have two lines open now, folks. If you want to call, now will be a good time. We have Val from Miami, and her birthday is December 5th, 1965. Are you there, Val?
Yes.
How are you, Val?
I'm great.
How's your life going?
Well, I'm in a huge transition, in the midst of a huge transition. I moved to Miami back in late February, and to be near family. And then sort of I couldn't have picked the worst time to do it.
For what reason?
The economy and stuff. I'm looking for work, but like I've also tried, try to figure out what I want to do at the same time. So, right now it feels like there's two things going on. One is I'm thinking about starting a new nonprofit, something that doesn't exist here. And so I'm thinking about kind of doing my own thing versus, trying to sort of make a living at the same time. So, and I'm feeling a little insecure in the job front. So I wanted to ask about that career.
Yeah, okay, this is good. Well, when I look at a reading, the first thing I look at are the cards that influence the entire year, because those are the most important. And they kind of tell what the real story is of the year, like what the issues are and so forth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And your year is almost over.
Yay.
Yeah, your birthday is in, like a month or so. And so there's a theme that's been playing out this whole year, and what I see here, the theme is like letting go of the past and finding what your real purpose is what
mm-hmm.
I see as being the theme. Having a deeper sense of yourself in relationship to what you're doing in the world, in your work, basically. Okay?
Yeah.
So that is like what's being played out, and it's an uncertain place. It's a scary place because it's a change from what was, which was whatever was happening in your life before. It's a change from that, and even though you didn't like what you did before, at least you knew what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
See? So you're in this transition, and it's a scary place to be, basically. But you right now, you should just be tuning in right now. I wouldn't be making any important decisions right now.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you already made this decision before, like recently. Did you already decide this?
No, it's just sort of like, I don't know, I've started to get a sense of clarity like this week. Not clarity, but intention this week. So I haven't, I've been interviewing at the same time, and doing some consulting, but nothing sort of external has really clicked into place. And so that's
nothing's
what
clicked
concerns
because
me a little
you bit. Haven't see nothing's clicked yet because you haven't found it yet.
Uh-huh.
You haven't hit upon just what it is. You need to be just be a little patient for a little bit longer, okay? By your birthday.
How much longer?
It's going to come to you by your birthday. Sometime between now and your birthday.
Hmm.
Which is not that long, but it may seem like a long time to you because you've been waiting for a while.
No, not really, but, do you see anything in terms of, like, what?
Well,
what it...
It'll be involving information, I can tell you that, but that's kind of broad.
Mm-hmm.
Could be you writing or publishing or teaching or assisting some message to get out to the world. There's nothing here that really defines it for you.
Okay.
But you're a king of clubs. It has to be something that involves the truth, knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, so, see, this was meant to be what we're talking about here is like you getting on to your purpose in life. in a deeper way. Not just a job.
Yeah, you're right.
See, not a job. We're not looking for a job here. We're looking for a mission.
Yeah, authenticity. Yeah.
Remember the Blues Brothers, that movie, The Blues Brothers?
Vaguely.
Well, there's these two guys. One guy just gets out of prison, and I forget what happened, but they get inspired, and they're like, then they're on a mission of God, you know. And there were a couple of, like, loser blues musicians, but they were so inspired by this vision they had, and then everything just kind of, like, worked out for them magically because they were on their mission then, you know.
It's true. This thing that's emerging for me, it feels like that. Like, I'm sort of torn between, hey, just take a job. I mean, just take a job, any job, but that doesn't feel right, and just, like, really wanted to do this other thing that really would be incredibly hard and a long-term project. So.
And, you know, this next year that you're coming up to, it starts on your birthday, it's going to be an incredible year.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. You're in one of the most auspicious places for the whole year. It's really, really wonderful.
Do tell.
Well,
I need to see that light at the end of the tunnel. What?
You're in the Six of Clubs position, which is one of the most fortunate positions in the whole deck. And you have the Ten of Diamonds in Jupiter, which is the biggest money card there. You're definitely going to have money. By the middle of next May or early June, you're going to have tons of money.
Cool.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
But you just have to be on the right track. Don't be, don't.
No, I know. Like, life is too precious to just sort of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to, like, just take the first boat that comes along because you start worrying about money.
Yeah, but, you know,
you
got to eat, too.
That. Well, are you starving?
No.
No, of course not. Did you hear my talk in the beginning about how there's no problems in the now?
Really?
Problems,
I was like, no, I'm actually eating a very yummy salad, so... So
yeah, and how is that possible with all these problems that you have? It's a miracle. You shouldn't be having fun right now because you've got problems that you haven't resolved yet.
Right, right. So anyway, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, I know that it is, but it sounds like the move, sometimes I've sort of questioned whether I did the right thing, but it just feels right being here.
You were destined to move.
Oh,
it
really?
It was the right thing. Yeah, it was destined. It's a good thing. You can see it in the cards. If you get my book and look at that period, when you moved, there was a Five of Spades right there.
Wow.
Exactly when you moved, which is one of the biggest move cards, you know, Five of Spades.
Yeah, it was big indeed. Well,
so it was
thank you.
Destined to be.
That sounds good to me.
All right. Well, thanks for being a guest tonight.
Well, thank you.
Call us back after your birthday and let us know what has transpired.
Will do.
You know, we'd like to see how things turn out because we're all students of the cards here, and we get to study everybody who calls in.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So, you know, bordering on a little freaky. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. I love
it's
that. Like... I love freaking people out. Just a little bit.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Robert. Take care.
Okay, Miriam. I'm sorry, Val. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take a short break here. We do have two lines open. We have Miriam, who's waiting from Florida. We'll talk to you, Miriam, after our break. We're going to play another song from Bhakti Rock. This time we're going to play Krishna Lullaby. And when we come back, we'll talk to Miriam and whoever else calls in. Now's the time to call. We have two lines open. This is Robert Camp. We'll be right back after the Krishna Lullaby.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Govinda Hare Murare Jai
Welcome back, everybody. That was Krishna Lullaby from my CD, Bhakti Rock. And now we're going to continue with your phone calls. And there are lines open. If you have a question, now's the time to call. Calling us from Florida, our second person, this is Miriam. Her birthday is April 26, 1935. Are you there, Miriam?
I am.
Did
and
we get your
you,
birthday?
Pardon me?
Oh, I know who this is.
You know who this is.
I recognize your voice, actually.
Yeah, you probably will. You know, I wanted to congratulate you on your show, and I thought it was very easy to get in here on the computer, and it's really very clear. There's just a little bit of a back feed. You know, the phone call is earlier than the computer.
Oh, there's a delay, yeah.
There's always a delay.
Turn your computer off or your speakers off when you talk on the phone.
I'm doing that, right.
Okay,
I thought I'd see about getting a little insight from you. I've got the Nine of Spades in my Venus, and my good friend that I've had in my life for 30 years is battling lung cancer. And he's really going through a lot. He's the Queen of Hearts, and he's 72. And, you know, he's got a Ace of Spades in Jupiter this year. Last year he had a Nine of Spades in Saturn, and his illness was really very hard to detect, which was pretty much what that nine did represent.
Is this your life partner?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, of course I'm concerned, trying to keep him positive. And with that Nine of Spades in my Venus, you know, that doesn't look too good.
Well, that Nine of Spades has already passed, Miriam.
Right, but isn't that
No, not really. But, I mean, you have an Ace of Spades coming up in Saturn.
And where's Saturn?
Yeah.
Ace of Spades?
Card. Yeah, in your fourth spade spread.
Oh, the four. No, at age 73?
Yeah. Aren't you a four spades planetary ruling card?
Yes, I do have a four spades. Uh-huh. Oh, that's my Saturn, you're right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I haven't been looking at that. You think that I need to...
I always look at those.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, we found that the birth card and ruling card, they're like two... They're both really important to look at to get the whole
picture. Well, then that puts his Queen of Hearts as a Venus to me.
Yeah, now what birthday is he again? I forget. What
Queen
year,
of Hearts.
What month?
September 25th.
Okay, so he's a Libra.
Right.
So he's an Eight of Diamonds ruling card.
Oh, okay.
So I was just looking to see, you know, if his cards were showing up there. And his card, the Eight of Diamonds, is the underlying card, one of the underlying cards for your Saturn period, Ace of Spades.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we, now, you know, I don't want to, you know, make you think something really bad is going to happen, but everybody has an ending, you know.
Absolutely.
And we're all going to check out at some point. And I think he knows what he's doing. You know what I mean? I mean, I think he knows. Most people, I think, know. Like, I think they know if their illness is how bad it's going to be. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They have a sense of it. They may not want to admit it. They may be afraid to look at it. But... I think they know. So, you know, there's a possibility here. There's certainly a possibility, looking at your cards, of something happening.
Yeah, and I've felt that for quite a while, but he's talking now that he thinks that he's going to be okay for the next couple of years.
Well,
and
maybe
then
he will.
And then it might get kind of bad, and so I thought, well, it would be a good idea to get you to tell me what you feel, because you're not emotionally involved like I am.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to say.
It is.
I mean, I mean, but
I know
your cards are showing, you're showing some kind of really difficult situation developing in your Saturn period. And there's an indication that it could be involving him because his cards are showing up there too.
That's true.
So there's a potential for that. I mean, at this point, you just have to basically write it out and see what happens. Can't do much about it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
There's nothing you can do to change anything.
No.
His condition that he has now is something that has been created over a long period of time.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So I don't know what his lifestyle was, but I'm sure that contributed.
He smoked too many cigarettes, and of course.
Well, and he's not that old, so, you know, this had to be, my point is, this had to be some more or less self-created situation.
Well, I think he realizes that now, and I asked him, wasn't he angry, and he said, no, he was pissed.
Oh.
I said, well, then get out there and scream and holler and get it out of your system.
Yeah.
Because you can't keep stifling it.
Well, he's gonna have to probably make a decision soon whether he really wants to stick around longer.
You know? Mm-hmm. I imagine we're all faced
with that at different stages in our life. You know, everybody has to answer that question at some point. I talk a lot about age 52. A lot of people, when they turn 52, have to decide whether they're going to stick around or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's common. But this may be a time for him that he has to decide, okay, do I have anything worth sticking around here for?
True, that's true. His life isn't too good right now.
So, you know, sometimes people just say, you know what, I think I just want to move on, you know. But it depends. It depends on them and a lot of factors. I mean,
he doesn't want to take any more treatment, so.
He doesn't want to, okay, well, that's a sign. That's kind of a sign, you know.
Right. It is a sign.
Yeah. So that tells you something.
Hopefully my next year will be a little better.
Well,
it'd be coming up in April, so.
Well, I tell you what, actually, as soon as you get past Saturn, it'll be a lot easier.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Because then I'll be in.
Next year, I don't see anything like this happening next year. So.
Okay.
Yeah, you just get through your Saturn period. And don't worry about next year. It'll be fine.
Sounds good. Well, there's always something good to look forward to, right?
Of course. I mean, you know, life is a beautiful thing. Might as well enjoy it and take, you know, be thankful for whatever time you have with him that's left, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Be grateful for that.
Well, the time is shorter all the time, you know, even the time we can spend together because of the quality he has.
Uh-huh.
He's in such
bad shape now that it's hard to have, like, really a good time.
He has his days and nights mixed up. He wants to sleep during the day, and he's up at night. And I think that's a way of not looking at things or people that are around during the day. That's what I'm feeling. So he doesn't have to deal with certain things. But
that may be true.
You know? And, well, I appreciate all that you have to say here. I like your new picture on your website.
Oh, thanks, Miriam.
That looks great.
It's nice to talk to you. I haven't spoken to you in quite a long time. It's nice to hear your voice.
Nice to hear your voice. And I hope all is going well with you.
Yeah, things are going really well. We're, you know, just moving along. And I'm focusing more and more on being happy just one day at a time myself.
Good idea. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, I almost have no choice. Yeah, I kind of feel like I, you know, sort of don't have a choice, but I'm just being more conscious of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know, okay, let's have this be a good day.
Exactly.
Not like, you know, next month or you know, getting a little bit out of that kind of dream of happiness is some thing that's going to happen to me years from now.
Right, and we really have to create our own. So as long as we have peace within, I think that's the best thing. And I have that. I just wish that everybody else could gain that as easily. But we're all different.
Everybody's different, and we all have different lessons to learn in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's lesson is better than anybody else's lesson.
No, and they never end.
And they're not going to do it anybody else's way anyway. They're going to do it their way anyway, so.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, everybody's going to live it the way they want to, no matter what anybody else says. So.
Oh, I'm learning a lot about that, and I'm really learning a lot about letting go of a lot.
Well, that's really hard. You know, you're an eight of clubs. I mean, it's difficult for you.
Mm-hmm.
But even you can do it. Isn't that kind of cool?
Yes. But the one thing that you really taught me in the class, being in eight of clubs, I know that I can do anything I set my mind to doing.
Yes.
And if I use that power within wisely, then I feel very fortunate. And you taught me a lot about that, and I really am grateful for that, Robert.
Well, it's nice. We must have known each other now for over 10 years. It's been
more than that.
Yeah,
I don't even think I had. I'm not sure I had the place in Florida. I've had that 14 years now. So.
Oh wow.
So yeah. You know, that's been a long time, and if I can get a group together, I'm going to try to do another class here shortly.
Oh, that would be wonderful. You're a great teacher, by the way, Mary.
Well, everybody likes my style, so I try to keep it simple. Because I think you learn better that way. Is the Destiny book still the same, or do you have?
Yeah, but I have a new book now called Your Birthday, Your Card, which is kind of like a modified love cards book. So it has, you know, I wrote new information about all the cards,
mm-hmm.
and it's meant to be sort of more appealing to. The current culture.
Oh, okay.
So it's written in a playful way, and like it tells you, like, who can you get married to, and who do you have the hottest sex with, that kind of stuff. You know.
Oh yeah, that is kind of more modern.
Everybody
culture.
Wants to know who they can get have the best sex with, so we put it in.
That's
there.
That's true. That's true. That is a priority when you're younger.
Exactly.
After a while, you know, our values do change.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Like, you would think, I mean, I used to think that sex would always be, like, the most important thing in my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
And that's changed. It's changed. It's amazing. It actually changed.
It does. My dad always said, too soon old and too late smart.
Yeah. That's a good one. I've heard that before. That's a really, that's very true.
Well, he said it when he was older. So
yeah,
he's
like, if I'd only got smart a little sooner.
Right, if I'd have known then what I know now, right?
Exactly. If I only invested in IBM when it first came out.
Oh, gosh, that hindsight is so great. Are we still on air?
Yeah, we are. We're about done.
I haven't got my newsletter yet, so I wondered what your predictions were for next week.
Oh, well, you know, I don't think it's a clear defined situation.
I don't either.
I hate to be ambiguous and not really, I like to stick my neck out and say something,
mm-hmm.
you know, but there's really nothing I can really say with assurance about this election.
No, I don't think it's going to be decided on that day. I think it's going to take a little longer.
Oh yeah, I hope it's one of those long drawn out recall ones. I'm just kidding.
I think that it will be.
It might really be.
I think that it'll be a troublesome day. You know, the planetary calendar says it's not a good day.
Oh wow. Oh,
so
this,
because
I thought they usually have it on the 7th. Why is it on the 4th this year? I don't get it.
The 4th is Tuesday.
Oh, it has to be on a Tuesday?
Yeah, it has to be on a Tuesday, Robert. The first Tuesday of November.
Okay.
That's the reason for that. Right.
I appreciate
the
invitation.
Yeah. And we have to fall back this weekend with our time.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay.
Yeah. So we get an extra hour sleep.
On Sunday. Nice.
Yeah. So Friday is Halloween, and we're going to have a Halloween party here, and we're gonna have a lot of ghosts and goblins.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
It does. We're going to play a few games and have a lot of laughs. So enjoy your time. And thank you very much for sharing all of that with me.
You're welcome, Miriam. Thanks for calling in. It's great to hear from you.
Thank you.
All right.
Have
good night,
Miriam. Yes.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. It's nice to hear from old friends. It's nice to know they're listening. Okay. We have two lines open now if you want to call. And we have Barbara from Santa Barbara. Isn't that nice? She's living in her own town. Maybe she's a saint. Her birthday is the same as mine, July 3rd, but different year. She's 1958. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am.
How's it going, Barbara?
Oh, just fine. I'm still trying to get a grasp on these cards. I've been studying very diligently.
Oh, you'll pick it up.
Don't worry. Yeah, I've learned a lot, too. But, there's just a few things I want to confirm with you as I look at my cards for this year, and then also my ex-husband's, which I can give you his birthday if you like.
Well, let's look at yours first. What do you want to know?
Well, because I've been dragging through this divorce with him for going on 5 years. I thought it was over with a year ago, and now he's appealing things. He just won't let it go. He's an 8 of clubs, if that makes any sense. And
what birthday is he?
He's July 20th, 1949.
Okay. All right.
And because we're both going to be in our Mars period real soon.
Now, he's probably prolonging it because of the money.
Well, yeah, for him, everything's about money, so yes.
Right, yeah.
But I see that in his Mars period, he has my card, the Queen of Diamonds.
Uh-huh.
It's not a direct card, but it's there.
Yeah, what's a direct card?
I mean, his direct card is the 8 of Hearts.
Okay, so look. First of all, you're not helping matters either, because you're tending to drag your feet here, too. Did you know that?
Well, I do, just because I've tried to get things moving 5 years ago, and it just seems to be with the legal system and the expense of attorneys and just the backpedaling and the stalling that the court system allows for, it just makes it impossible.
Uh-huh.
I can just run myself into a hole in the dirt trying to get things going, and it's just so frustrating and so distracting from doing other
things.
Well,
I think that's what your husband is counting on, that you'll give up or something.
Oh, right. Well, yes. I would think by now he knows I'm not going to.
Well, let's just imagine for a moment that his only motivation is to give you as less money as possible.
All right, yes, that's very fair to assume.
Let's just imagine that is the only motivation he has.
Okay.
Okay? Now, if you look at him from that point of view and then analyze what he's doing, what do you think he's doing?
Well, I know he's looking for loopholes, and he's stalling and trying. Again,
right. Yes,
you're right. He totally, and he'll be the first to admit it. He doesn't want to have to be even remotely fair. He just, in his mind. I'm sure he's got his
own. Now, the only thing that you have in your favor is that you are his Pluto card twice, okay?
Oh.
You are Pluto to him twice. I mean, he married his lifetime challenge card when he married you.
He married his what?
Lifetime challenge card.
Yes, I believe he did.
But it's up to you to, like, step up here. You're being a little namby-pamby here. You're not acting in the strength that you have. You're going to have to be a little bit more aggressive here and get this thing over with.
Oh, I have been. No, I keep winning in court, and he just keeps ignoring it, and then I have to go back to
him. Well, you got to make it so expensive for him that, see, your cards, you have a displacement of the Five of Hearts, which means that you're the one that has to do something different, not him. I'm saying that it's your fault that you're not married yet, not divorced yet.
Oh, no, we're divorced. It's just that he's appealing a lot of the court stuff that the court...
Yeah, let's see. Like, okay, let's just imagine for a moment that I was a single guy and I wanted to date you, all right?
Okay.
The problem is, you're still stuck on your ex-husband.
Oh, no, because I have been dating. I've been dating a lot, actually.
It doesn't matter. You're still stuck on your ex-husband. Anybody that dates you, he comes with you. He's part of the package.
Oh, gosh.
You're dragging him along like a little choo-choo train behind you. You don't see that. Somebody who first meets you doesn't see him there off the bat. But once they get to know you more than a few days, they're going to know, oh, I got an ex, and I'm still fighting with him over money. And that way, that means your ex comes with you as part of the package of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're not cleaning. You're not free and clear. You're encumbered. You
right,
have a second
no,
mortgage.
True. I mean, but
you
I don't
have a second mortgage on you.
Yeah, okay. I just don't understand what I'm doing to drag it, because believe me, I've been very aggressive. And
you're not being willing to let go and end it. You got to end it like you really want it to be over.
Oh,
you got to
yeah.
let him go. You really got to let him go.
Okay, well,
and
I feel like I have
to. Don't make money. Don't make money the top priority. You know what I mean? Like,
oh.
You're going to have money.
Oh, yeah, no, believe me, I'm not. That's why I'm just going to my career. My career is my main focus, and my son. That's who I deal with. I would drive myself crazy.
You've got this big chain hanging around your neck called an ex-husband who's still fighting with you over a divorce that happened how long ago?
Oh, well, it officially happened last year, but it took almost four years for it to happen.
Uh-huh. So you need to get going, and the cards confirm this. You need to get going. You need to end this.
Okay.
You're the one with all the power here.
Yes, I do know that.
You realize that.
Yes, I do know that.
If you get that, if you really get that, you realize, okay, you ask yourself, what am I doing? Why am I waiting?
Well, I'm waiting for courts to hand down decisions and waiting for attorney. Well, my attorney writes letters, and I got to wait for his attorney to write back. I mean, that's... believe me, my attorneys are on it because they're tired of it too.
Uh-huh.
But I just was curious because I saw my card in his Mars period, and I do see a Nine of Hearts, which I'm hoping is an end. I mean, I really don't know what else more I can do because I...
Is he in his Mars right now? Yeah, I guess he is.
Well, he will be on November 1st.
Right, okay. And you have a Nine of Hearts right now too.
Correct.
Yeah, so yeah, this could be the period where you really do end it. And I'm rooting for you, hoping you can, that you will end it. I know you can. The question is, will you?
Yes, though I will.
I know you feel like you don't have the power to do this, but I get it that you do have the power.
No, I have made every legal option I have. I have pursued it, and I have carried on with it. And I keep winning in court. And even the judge is going, what? This is dragging on too long. I want this, and this done. And then my ex won't do it, or I have to write 10 million letters from my attorney to get him to do it before we drag him back into court again.
Uh-huh. Well, you need different penalties. This needs to cost him more. When it begins to cost him more, he'll stop.
Yeah, well, he did tell me the sky is the limit.
He's doing it because it's not really costing him all that much to do it. See? You know what his weakness is. You need to get on it and get that handle and get it over with.
No, believe me, his tab is ticking right up there, and it's ticking for sure. I don't know how much more he can take, but
we'll keep our fingers crossed. I don't know. I still think you have a hand in it. So I don't think you're seeing it yet. What I'm referring to,
mm-hmm.
But maybe you will.
Okay.
Like, maybe you have some kind of enjoyment of watching him lose money. I don't know.
Oh, no, I know. It does probably appear that way, totally. But
Well, it just, there's something else going on. I got a feeling about, that's all.
Okay, and then, well, in my Jupiter period, do you see a lot of, am I correct when I see a lot of success in my career, which is being an artist and a designer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and then when
I... You need to pay attention to your displacement card. It's the Five of Hearts, okay?
Okay.
You've got to use your power to end this unhealthy relationship with your ex.
Okay.
That is what you have to pay attention to this year. The displacement card is what we have to pay attention to any given year.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know, because I wasn't quite sure where in the scheme of things that importance was. Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Very good to know.
And it's important. It's like it's usually something that we're not paying enough attention to. And yet our success lies in there. And then you have this Eight of Hearts Pluto, and you have this King of Hearts result. So it's like you've got to realize that you have this power and use it.
Okay.
Like stand up and say, that's enough. Look at the judge and say, Judge, we've got to end this. How do we end it? You know, like once and for all, because you know what he's going to do. He's just going to turn around and do this. You know all this stuff. Why aren't you taking action ahead of time?
Oh, I am. I have the attorney's bills to prove it.
No, there's something you're not doing.
Hmm.
Sorry.
Okay, well.
I don't know what it is, but you're failing.
Uh-oh. Okay. Oh, no. All right.
You're not succeeding. You're succeeding in keeping him around.
Oh, God, no. Don't say that, please.
Yes, that's what you're doing.
Okay.
You're succeeding in keeping a relationship with your ex-husband going and going and going.
I know, and I don't want to, though, but I, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a part of you that you're not aware of, that you're unconscious of, that does.
Okay.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it.
All right. Well, I better get to the bottom of that then, for sure.
Yeah. Well, take a look at that. That's your challenge for this year, so take a look.
Okay. Well, good. Well, thank you very much.
It's great talking to you, Barbara.
Thanks.
I had a lot of fun.
All right. Thank
All right,
you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Our next guest is calling from Los Angeles. She just had a birthday. This is Elizabeth, born October 26, 1963. Are you there, Elizabeth?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can now, yes. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And you're the same birthday as Hillary Clinton.
I like that.
Oh, good. Good. I wasn't sure, you know, whether you'd like that or not. I'm glad to hear that you do. So what's up with you?
I have two questions. I wanted to know, my daughter is, she's a tennis babe. She was born February 2nd.
Uh-huh.
And my question is, my labor was induced, and I'm wondering if she was born at 11th.
It doesn't matter.
Really?
Whatever time she
popped
out.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, whatever time she popped out, that's what God intended, and that's what her birthday is. Yeah.
Really?
Good question, by the way. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I've always thought that because it seems so man-made.
Yeah, well, you know,
some
people schedule the birth of their children, and usually they'll come in at that time. But sometimes, and even in those situations where they've actually scheduled it and got everything lined up, something happens at the last moment, and they come in at a different time. Trust me, God's always
really
in control of that.
Wow.
So whoever time
that's
we show up on the planet, that's our birthday.
Okay, well, I'll have to accept that. I mean,
so what's wrong with being born the 2nd of February?
It looks like we had this, like, horrific connection. Like, I guess it was like a double Saturn or something.
Well, no,
like
here's
all
the thing
Saturn cards.
Well, here's the thing with you and her. Okay, yeah, you are Saturn to her. So you have to be careful because it comes natural for you to criticize her. Okay?
Yeah.
But the other thing about that makes it even more difficult is the fact that you can't actually control her. And she doesn't really listen to you. you know, because she doesn't, you're not the person that was meant to be her teacher, even though you'd like to be. You know, like you're born to be a teacher. You're kind of like a teacher in the world, you know what I mean? But you can't be her teacher. You can't be her teacher. You don't have that connection with her to be her teacher, and she'll never look at you as a teacher. And that will frustrate you to no end.
But as a mom, aren't I supposed to be somewhat of a teacher?
You're supposed to be. That's a typical role, but there are... Like, I have a son, for example. He's a king of diamonds, and I'm a queen of diamonds, right? Well, the queen cannot lead the king. The king is stronger than the queen. And it's the same thing with you and your daughter. You cannot lead your daughter. You can support her. You can be supportive and loving and helpful, but you cannot teach her. You cannot lead her in a new direction. She's not interested in where you're going, where you would like her to go. Have you noticed all this? I know you've noticed.
She's only five, but that's why I called and asked that question, because I'm...
Yeah.
She's only five, and I get that already.
She's only five, and she's already showing her colors, because this is an energy thing. It's not something that you did, and it's energy. It's meant to be this way. And as much... You will get opportunities to teach her, but you have to be careful, because your teaching with her will tend to be criticism.
Okay.
So be careful. And she may already be self-critical. Do you understand? So she may not need, like, somebody else. Like my son, he's really self-critical. I really shouldn't say anything to him, because he's already beating himself up about things that he's not doing perfectly. See?
Oh.
So, you know, be very careful about whatever criticism you decide to share with your daughter, because, you know, you're not really meant to be her teacher. Now, that's clear from the cards. See, here's the thing. What you're really meant to do is to be her mother, which the mother gives, are you ready for this? Unconditional love.
Right. Wow, so interesting.
So you have a King of Clubs ruler, so you have a masculine side that wants to lead and wants to teach and wants to do everything right, you know. So this goes against your grain. It goes against your grain. And therein lies the challenge.
Wow.
So what will happen is, if you don't pay attention to this, she'll just leave someday and say, I'm out of here. And then you'll be very unhappy, because you feel like you lost your daughter, you know.
Right. That would be terrible. That would be the worst thing that could happen. That would be terrible.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what can happen if we push our way constantly on a child, though. See, she's a five ruler, too, and a five of spades is not going to want to... They have issues with authority figures.
Why am I being fed this
now,
challenge?
Is there a father in the family?
We're separated, and we have a pretty difficult relationship, too. He's born November 9th.
Uh-huh.
He's a jack of clubs.
Oh, they are so controlling.
Yeah, he is, and he's just so stubborn. We fight all the time. All the time.
Yeah. Which is not good for your
daughter. But I adore him.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have good connections. You have some good connections and all, but, you know, when all that fighting is not good for the child to witness.
No, that's why we separated.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's good. So, you know, but I can tell, I mean, usually a child that's a five will have some sort of separation from the father.
Really?
And
will she come back?
See, well, the father is the original symbol of the authority. See, not the mother. Okay, a little
okay.
Boss head. The father is meant to be that symbol most of the time. Now, some women, of course, and you're a King of Clubs ruler, you can be the father and the mother too, to a certain extent. But still, that doesn't change the fact that your daughter then will have this unresolved issue around her father, who she was estranged from, or whatever. Whatever she'll make up about it when she gets older. She'll make up something about it, you know, be her story. Well, my father left me when I was 5, you know, something like that. Whatever. So you want to do something good, be really nice to your daughter, and be the loving, supportive mother. Work on that part.
Okay.
She's a genius, by the way. She doesn't need you to tell her anything. She's
oh,
a
no.
lot smarter than you. She's a lot smarter than you are, and you think you're really smart.
Thanks a lot.
I'm serious. You know, I have to admit.
That's interesting.
You know, like my yeah. The same way with
my father was a genius. He was a nuclear physicist, and I tried to get away from it because it wasn't healthy. He was very, very unbalanced.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But I guess I may have another one in my life.
Sounds a little bit like it, yeah. Okay, Elizabeth, I appreciate you calling tonight.
Okay,
thank
you.
Is there another man in your life you want to ask about?
No, I'm having a real question about my career. I just lost my job, and it was very unexpected, because I had a great year,
uh-huh.
And I thought I was going to stay for this with this company because it felt so fated, and then I started to have these feelings like I was going to be doing public speaking, which is way out of my field because I'm a graphic designer, and... Uh-huh. I went to a all staff meeting and they said that they were gonna be talking a lot and there's a lot of travel involved. And so then when I looked at my yearly spread, I thought that seemed like it sort of fit that. But right now it doesn't seem like that. So basically, calling because.
Well, you should be. First of all, this is going to be a good year. And you're under a certain protection this year that you're not always under, where nothing can go wrong.
Oh, but, yeah?
But you're like a very fixed, controlling kind of Scorpio person. So if it's not
right.
going the way you think it's supposed to go, you'll freak out a little bit and try to control it, okay?
That's what I'm doing,
but
yeah.
You need to let go. You need to, like, flow a little bit this year, and just don't be worried. Like, it's all going to be really great. And there's going to be a change that you're not even aware of yet. It's not going to come for a few months. And it's going to be a good change.
Oh, okay.
But you're not one of those cards that really likes change all that much. Okay? You're fixed.
No, and I have so much of it.
You're fixed. The Nine of Hearts is a...
I believe that.
We call it semi-fixed, you know, but it's strong-willed and... somewhat hard to change, you know, that card.
That's a, yeah. It's not always so good.
Yeah.
So now that I'm 45...
Be willing for something good to come in that you're not even thinking about yet, and be really ready to change when it shows up. And just go with it. Okay?
Okay.
And
everything will be okay then?
It's all going to be great. You're going to be... Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Don't make up any new
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's great talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth, that's an interesting name, you know. It's Elizabeth. Any woman who's got that name is a queen or a king. You know, they're a queen and king. And she's a king and a queen. She's a Queen of Spades ruling card and a King of Clubs ruling card. So Elizabeth is quite appropriate. I forgot to ask her what her daughter's name is. That would be interesting to know what she calls her daughter. She's got a little bit of queenly energy, though not nearly as much as her mother. So that would have been interesting. Okay, we're going to have time for like one more caller. We're going to take a break right now. If anybody else wants to call in, this is the last chance. The first one who calls, we'll have a little chat. We're going to play the song, Karna's Song, off my CD, Bhakti Rock, Karna's Song. And when we come back, if we have any callers, we'll take the first call and see what comes up. Be right back after Karna's Song. Welcome back. All right, that was Karna's song from my CD, Bhakti Rock. I hope you enjoyed that. We have our last caller on the line. His name is Sheldon, and his birthday is March 28, 1960. Are you there, Sheldon?
I am. Thanks for taking my call, Robert.
Did I get your birthday right, Sheldon?
Yes, you did. I am okay. Another eight of clubs with a ten of hearts ruling card.
Yes, you are. So what's going on? What's happening in your life these days?
Everything is great. I'm thankful for everything, really. I mean, it's a wonderful thing, you know, to be alive and everything is going well, so I'm very happy. You know, I was just wondering in terms of interpreting what some of the cards mean. I had some questions regarding that, and I just wanted to point out, because ever since I've started tracking all this stuff, I got the Cards of Your Destiny just a couple of months ago, so you know, I'm relatively new to it, but I could tell you that just as far as my family goes, I mean, I'm an eight of clubs, and you know, probably all the listeners know that there's that group of seven cards that are all part of this,
yeah.
You know, family.
Special family. Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm an eight of clubs. I have a twin brother who's also an eight of clubs. I have a sister who is an eight of clubs.
Oh,
and
wow.
I also had a brother who is a brother who passed away who is a seven of diamonds.
Wow.
All part of the same family. And my nephew, who is named after my brother who is a seven diamonds, is a nine of hearts. So, I mean, it's like we're all in the same family here.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. It's amazing. We don't know why this happens exactly. We haven't quite figured it out. But we just keep noticing that's what happens. It's just so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, even my sister-in-law, who's married to my oldest brother, is a nine of... wait a minute. I think she's a jack of hearts. So, I mean, it's like it even extends out to there, you know. And so many people have said that my oldest brother and my mother were different than the rest of us. Like, they were very much alike. Well, when I looked up their cards, just so happens they were both six of clubs.
Oh, interesting.
So there's how they're so much together. But you know,
because they're like normal cards, they're like the black sheep of the family.
Yeah, well, they're like on a totally different level than the rest of us. I mean,
exactly. You guys know, all understand each other, but they don't quite understand what you guys are all talking about.
Right. That's what it is. So anyway, my mother passed away also a number of years ago. But I decided, let me look back and see if I could find any, you know, historic moments in our lifetimes that I could see any indicator cards based on their yearly spread. So I went back to when my mother was 34, which is when she had myself and my brother, and I looked at the period that she had us in, which was, I believe, the Mars period. I don't have it right in front of me. But the cards for that period, the direct card and the vertical card, the direct card was a ten of hearts, and the vertical card was a two of clubs. And let me just ask you if it's okay to say, well, here we were twins, two clubs,
wow.
Because we're both eight of clubs, and she had ten of hearts. So it's saying, here they are, the two clubs that are ten of hearts.
Yeah. Yeah, and you both are ten of hearts ruling cards. That is so amazing.
That's why.
That is very cool. Thank you for sharing that. That's
when we were born, that's what her cards were. You know, so anyway, I'm looking at my brother's going to take a trip, and we're going to go see my father, which will be in my Uranus period. And my father's card is a King of Diamonds. Now, here it is again. You know, I'm seeing King of Diamonds, two of clubs. So, you know, I'm saying, well, does this mean the two clubs are going to go visit the King of Diamonds? You know, I mean, the trip is already planned.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
The trip is already planned. I mean, we're going to be there.
Yeah,
I look at it, and it's like, oh, wow, there it is.
Because you guys are two clubs, now you got to look for that two of clubs, because that's the symbol of you and your brother together. That is very cool.
And that's okay to interpret it that way?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I mean, I never would have thought of that, but I can't. It seems true.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we're
very
two.
True.
We're two clubs. You're, I mean, we are.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and you and your mother had that when you were born. So, you know, you might want to do some further research, like look back at things that happened when you two did things together, and see if the two clubs was there, and if you guys, you know, just see if it showed up in the same way. It would be interesting to see.
Well, I'll tell you one more thing. You know, in my looking back at trying to find pivotal moments in my life and the life of my family, when I was 14, I had a brother named Robert, and he passed away, and it was an accident. So we didn't know what was happening. But I decided, well, that was a really messed up period for all of us because it was an accident, and it really just threw the whole family for a loop. You know, so I look back at the cards, and I look back, you know, at my year, and I think when I was 14, my long range card was a seven of diamonds. Well, that was my brother Robert. It was a seven of diamonds.
Mm-hmm. The one who passed away.
I saw that as, you know, that's the most important thing that was happening that year was him.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, and then I decided. Well, this goes for both me and my brother because they're twins. But I decided, well, let me look at my sister, who is also in Eight of Clubs. But, you know, I think she was 25 at the time. I don't think it was in her birth card. I think it was in her planetary ruling card that I saw also the seven of diamonds as a long range card, which was just too uncanny that I found, you know, all of us in the same family that were pointing to this, because when I looked at his cards for that period, there was no clue. I didn't see anything that was an indicator. But in the rest of the family, if I looked at everybody else, there was an indicator.
Yeah, and sometimes those events like that are, every single person that was a witness to it has a lesson or something that's important about it for them. You know, it's not just that one person who has the tragedy, but it's how it affects everybody else in the family, too, is like the biggest part of it sometimes. It's all, sometimes it's, I mean, he was young, right?
Yeah, he was 22.
I mean, usually when people die at an early age, if it's not something they, obviously, that they did, like, you know, they were doing something bad in their lifestyle and it caught up with them, then we have to think that it's just karmic, that it's just something was going to happen. And then, at that point, it becomes about, it starts to be more about, like, how did it affect everybody in their life, you know, in the family. And
yeah.
So forth.
Well, you know, as an Eight of Clubs, I mean, you know, there's all these karmic cards, which are, it's not described as to, you know, who owes what, but there is a karmic connection. And, you know, so,
yeah.
I mean, there was definitely a karmic connection between my sister and myself and my brother and, you know, and my brother who passed away, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't looked into it, but in the previous generation, the person that I was named after also was a twin and passed away in an accident. So I haven't, like, looked up his birthday or anything like that, you know, but I'm thinking, is there some kind of karmic thing that is, you know, it was in the last generation, and then this generation there was an accident and somebody died, you know, and I'm like, what do I have to do to break that karmic cycle? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, there's a teacher, a famous teacher, and his name is Bert Hellinger, and he's written some books about these dynamics, and he first started out a long time ago studying these tribes in different foreign countries and how they're all about the ancestors and so forth. Anyway, he worked out this whole system where, like, if there's like a suicide, let's say, in a family, a person from the next generation, or even it might skip a generation, somebody will commit suicide out of an unconscious loyalty to that person. Very interesting. It's called, what's it called? Something about the family, systemic family solutions or something. But look up Bert Hellinger and get one of his books. I think you'll find that amazing, and he talks about how to break that cycle by bringing the awareness into it. Very, very interesting.
That's great. That's great. Thank you so much for that.
Well, it's great having you as a guest.
Yeah, I really appreciate, you know, being able to be a guest. I tried calling last week, and boy, were you busy. I couldn't get through.
Oh, well, I'm glad you were persistent. I love those they're fantastic.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you just said.
I said I love those discoveries that you're making. I think they're pretty cool.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's all about, I don't know, you know, this is cool stuff. Hey, I'll tell you one more thing, which is just, it's too uncanny, and I just got to share it with you. Okay. I'm a landlord, okay? So I had a guy who gives me his application to get an apartment. So, you know,
yeah.
I take the application because I have to do a background check. So he gives me his birthday. I figure, well, I'm going to do a background. Well, you know, this company is going to do a background check. But look, why don't I just look into his birthday just to see what it says. So what did it say? It said he was a two of clubs. Okay, I haven't really had experience with two of clubs, but basically it said that there could be deep-seated fears based on your love cards book. And I was like, all right, fine, I can live with it. It's not like there's anything wrong with it. I'm not going to discriminate against the guy. But it's like, okay, this is fine. Well, it just so happens that his birthday was October 20th. Now, he came over to see the apartment right before his birthday. So he was in Neptune.
Yeah.
He signs the contract. He signs the contract. And then he came over to see the apartment and then came over, like, the day after his birthday to sign the contract. And then I gave him the key. And literally the next day, he comes back and he says, I can't live here. So his birthday just happened. It's like all of a sudden his perspective changed. He says, I can't live here.
Yeah.
I said, why? What's the matter? He said, I felt like the walls were closing in on me. Like I just felt claustrophobic. And it was just like, oh, man, there's that deep-seated fear thing. I mean, it was just too uncanny that he switched from Neptune right after into his Mercury period right after his birthday, and the fear thing hit him because he's a two of clubs. And I was just like, I just can't believe this stuff. This is, it's just two on the button. So I'm glad I could share that with you too.
Yeah,
because
I'm sure my listeners are enjoying that too. That's a great story, you know. And you know, it would be wise for you almost, like if you knew somebody was getting ready to have a birthday, did not, don't even take them seriously until after their birthday.
Yeah,
you know,
probably. I mean, I learned my lesson.
Everything changes. Everything changes on the birthday. Sometimes it's quite dramatic, as you noticed. Thanks so much for being my guest tonight. I appreciate having you on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much for having the show.
All right.
Great
have
to
a
talk
nice
to you.
Evening. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Oh, that was wonderful. Okay, we're going to have our favorite song. The show is over, and we're going to play Gayatri, and we'll see you all next week. I hope you all make it. Have a great week, and be safe. Good night.
Sure.
tools.